This is Family Stories with Ronnie and Brian, and we are glad to be back. And today we have some family friends with us, very dear pastors Sean and Joy Jonas. We're excited you guys are with us today. The four of us and, 120 of our closest friends spent the week together at church camp this last week, Camp Expression. Pastor Sean was our camp speaker, and it was just an awesome week. We will tell you guys all about it, but wanted to let you guys know. So Pastor Sean and Joy are originally from Parkersburg. And they were in Huntington and serving as youth ministers around the same time that Ronnie and I were.
Right.
So we were just realizing that we were both kind of in that season for about 10 years, and they overlapped somewhat.
Yeah.
And so anyway, it's just been awesome to kind of follow each other in ministry over the years. And, you know, when you're a youth pastor, you need that friend that you can be call on for a church van. Let's keep it real. Call on for advice, right? Call on to vent occasionally. And so anyway, it's just been a joy to have you guys as ministry friends, but then also now with our kiddos, spending our own children, spending the week at church camp together. And just, I have such cool pictures from last year. And then it just, you know, kept going this year too, of I think maybe Ronnie praying for Eden, maybe Eden, Bryson, our oldest, praying for Eli, their son, and Sean praying for Rowan this year, our middle son, that meant so much. So anyway, it's just a really cool tie that I feel like we have.
I don't remember, but I do believe that you prayed for Eli last year to receive the Holy Spirit.
Oh, wow.
I'd have to ask him, but I think that picture was from that moment.
Wow. Cool. How cool is that? So, Sean and Joy are on staff at Revive Church in Kansas City, but, you know, people need to realize they poured in so much here in the Huntington area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sean was just this awesome youth pastor across town. From me while I was trying the youth pastor thing. I just heard we both spent a decade in youth ministry.
Yeah, it was 2008 to 2018. It was exactly 10 years.
So we were very similar kind of deal. Plus, I just loved talking to you back then. There, you know, not very many youth pastors talk to each other, believe it or not.
Yeah, and I did.
Unfortunately.
I was one of those weirdos.
We were kindred spirits, I feel like, all the way through.
I was one of those weirdos that I wanted to unite youth pastors. Mm-hmm. Rod Justice, you.
Shout out to Rod.
Yeah.
Our little trio.
My name for Rod Justice is the godfather of youth ministry.
I think he's still doing it and kicking it today.
He's still doing it.
I could just see him over in a corner gathered around the youth pastors. Yeah.
We were doing something at camp, and one of the guys said, he believes that he's the longest standing youth pastor in Church of God history.
I believe it.
Yes.
Just
and, you know, because we do church camp right where Rod, you know, I mean, he's a main honcho there at this Church of God youth camp there at New River Ranch in Fayetteville, West Virginia. And it was last year that we did our visit before camp came along.
Yeah.
And they had Rod come up and just kind of set the stage for for that week, for that group. And he has all bullets still in the chamber.
Oh, I love it.
Deal. He's just a very magnetic person.
Anybody that could do it that many years. I mean, after 10 years, I was really feeling the exit.
And he looks for no exit.
Nope, he's not.
Yeah. So it's really awesome. But, you know, Sean was somebody that, when we were, facing obviously similar struggles, we were in kind of fighting on the same battleground here in Huntington. I just loved talking with him. Real anointing towards worship. intercession, yeah. revival.
Yeah.
The fact that you ended up at a revived church does not surprise me in any way, shape, or form. So,
and it's been a mind-blowing experience, because what's so crazy is, like, my experience at New Life with Pastor Huffman was, you know, a lot of people, they exit with like a flame of fire, like they go out and they're disgruntled and all that. I left on great terms. I had an amazing tenure, I guess, at New Life, and raised up a phenomenal youth camp, and Joy helped me to really grow a praise and worship program there in the youth ministry that we were going, and our worship team was leading worship at churches, main church buildings,
wow, stuff, yeah.
because they were so anointed, and she did a good job with that.
So Joy, you were you know, kind of cultivating the youth worship there for those 10 years. Tell me a little bit about who we were pulling together. We might not say the same people kind of thing, but...
Well, when we first started there, we actually only had a few people. We had a guy named Josh who played piano and a couple of singers.
Okay.
So it wasn't a real strong group, but over
and
the years...
And we just lost Curtis. Curtis attended.
Oh, wow.
Curtis was the youth praise and worship team. And so when I interviewed, Curtis was leading worship. And then when I came... And got the position, I was saying, oh, Curtis, I can't wait to work with you and all that. He said, yeah, I'm kind of going down to the main church. I was like, oh, great. Now I know how to have a praise team.
Yeah, so our piano player actually ended up stepping out too. So, but I played piano a little bit, so I stepped in some. I'm not an expert at piano playing, but I was enough to help it along.
Yeah.
So we had a few other people. And over the years, I feel like there were different people that came in who were musically inclined and could sing and stuff. And even a few times we had a young lady named Tiffany Johnson come in, and she stepped into the lead worship and did that for a while, and then stepped back out for some other things, and then just continue. You know, every year it was different. We bring in new people. And these
youth ministry.
It is. Yeah. It's like people graduate out, you go, now who's here?
So by the time everyone, we left, all these... The girls and guys that we had were phenomenal worship people sang.
Yeah.
They knew it all. They knew what they were doing, and they just took it and ran with it, and it just exploded. And
we weren't really into, and especially Joy and I, we came out of a very intercessory prayer, worship, flow kind of ministry as teenagers. Mm-hmm. Like, we had a really phenomenal youth ministry as teenagers, youth ministry experience
in
with
Bieber.
Worship.
In Parkersburg.
Yeah, in Parkersburg.
Yeah.
And so our vision, passion, you know, goal for our youth ministry wasn't just to sing songs. It was to actually, like,
hold a God.
Enter into the presence
enter
of God.
Enter into the Holy
and
of Holies.
And,
yeah.
I love that.
Yep.
You know, something that I feel like you can really see your fruits as you've been with us at coming in town the past couple years for camp is, we know it says so much about you when all of these people want to still connect with you when you're here. Or, you know, youth that are now married that you had in youth are coming to make sure to be with you, to hear you when you minister, or be part of you and your family. So I just think that
what
says so much about you. It's awesome.
What was so crazy is, like, I'm setting... we were driving back to Huntington from yesterday from camp, and one of my praise and worship leader, she goes, "You're in Huntington. I'm driving through Kansas City."
She's like, "Oh my goodness, that's wild."
She's like, "We couldn't see each other." She goes, "But we could." I said, "Just beep."
Yeah, that's awesome. So, you know, more fruit that we'll speak about. Obviously, your daughter is just phenomenal.
Yeah, she is special.
Leading worship, and that's something obviously that was cultivated right in the middle of you guys. You trying to pull together a praise team from year to year.
I mean,
I will say this about, because I just want to mention, you all have Ella, who is going into 10th grade. Eli going into 8th grade. Eden, 5th grade.
Fifth.
And then little Ian, who's 5 years old.
Kindergarten.
And he'll start kindergarten. So they've got their 4 kids. But we had the privilege of being with the 10th through college group for a session at camp. Mm-hmm. And Ella was in there. And so we were kind of going around the room, who wants to share. And she shared such a cool thing. And I don't think she would mind me saying it on here, but she said last year at camp, she really felt like God was shifting her from into focusing on worship.
Yeah.
You know, really solely. Yeah. And what you need to know about Ella is she has been a gymnast for years, a lot of investment from the family, you know, time and money. We know how all that goes. But, you know, it was just so cool to just hear her share so confidently with the group that she knew it was from the Lord. And that as she took that step to be more focused and surrendered into worship as her priority, how much in just this past year has happened. She says she's been in recording sessions and to Chicago and leading worship. And just how you have to be just so proud.
I'm trying not to cry. When Joy had Ella in the womb, I, on a regular basis, would just pray that she would be a prophet to the nations. I was like my word for her. And then when she came out, she was crazy.
Spunky is the word.
Spunky, like wild. Like couldn't take her anywhere, like out of the box. And I was like, God, is this what I prayed for, you know? And to see her like develop into this is passionate, and she cares. She cares about.
She really has a maturity.
Yeah, she really does when it comes to worship. And I think it's because, like, I remember she wanted to come to the prayer and intercession nights that we would have at New Life for our teenagers. And some of these teenagers.
So she was just a little girl.
Just a little girl, seven, 8 years old. And when we would have each teenager pray something forward. And some of these teenagers were just so quiet and so timid. And then you'd get to Ella, an 8 year old, and she would just like
let loose.
God, let it fall. I mean, it was wild. And I was like, well, praise God, you know. And I just kind of just, but when she last year, even for me, hearing her play and sing and flow like she did, like she just took over for Abby.
Yes.
And just kind of floated. And I could not believe what my young girl was doing. I was like, that's my baby. Like, couldn't believe it. And, but I was telling a young man that helped lead worship at the camp this year, I said, my daughter, like, why she's able to do what she does is she practices his presence. She's always in her room. She's flowing. She's singing. She's praying. She's worshiping. Outside of any platform.
Or function.
And to be honest, like, when she's back home, she's okay playing in the background. Like, being a background player. She doesn't have to be up front. Like, she's a real encourager, even in a worship setting. And so that shows that maturity that you're talking about. And the Lord has done that. I mean, that really hasn't... some of it from mom and dad, but, I mean, the Lord's really developed that in her. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so tell a little bit about your other kids and what they've got going on and their uniqueness.
Well, Eli's he's my awkward turkey a little bit. Like he likes the video games and he's kind of to himself and quiet, but he has a real gifting for golf. He's a real good golfer. Cool. And so when we lived here, we did a lot of golfing out at Sugarwood and stuff. And he finished third in the state as like a 6 year old.
Wow.
And like he was a really phenomenal golfer.
Now I remember this. I remember you posting videos of him playing and all
Does
that.
Does he still keep up with it?
And he, since we've been in Huntington, since we've been in Kansas City, like he's kind of taken a little bit of a back, but here recently he's saying, I want to do it again. But that's what I want, because I pushed him so hard. I was the dad that everybody hated, like, because I was pushing him like so hard. And so I kind of had to back off of that. But then we have our sweet Eden. She's just loves people. Just very precious. She loves to worship
and serve.
She's got a servant's heart. And then Ian is our youngest and our other out of the box kid. As we were walking down
the
road,
see that with him. Yes,
we're walking down every day. He's like, "Hey, how are you doing?" Like as we're passing students up and down the hill, he's just, "How are you doing? How are you doing? What's your name?"
But I will say, with all of our kids, like just as Ella is in the worship field, it comes very naturally to her. Our other kids are also involved in worship, and through the private school our kids go to, through our church, they have a phenomenal music program, band and theater and all that stuff. But they've been growing and learning how to sing and how to use their voice. And even our Ian, If you hear him sing, he stays on melody, he stays on key, he can hear it and know it. So it's like they're all growing up in this. They're going to grow up, and they're all Eli and Eden both are on their worship teams and youth and middle school classes. So it's cool to see all of our kids moving in that same direction.
Awesome.
Well, we want to take a quick break, and we want to come back and talk a little bit about camp, and then just also what you guys have going on in ministry and coming soon. Okay. So stay with us, and this is Family Stories on Expression Radio. We'll be right back.
We hope you are enjoying today's show. We believe that God has given us a voice to impact communities and regions all over the world. If you would like to make sure that voice is heard, please partner with us today by visiting www.expressionradio.org and click donate. You can also text give by texting the dollar amount followed by the word radio to the number 84321. First-time text givers, please choose Expression Church of Huntington when prompted. All gifts are tax deductible. Join us as we change the world.
We are back on Family Stories, and this is Brianne. I'm here with Ronnie, and we have Sean and Joy Jonas with us. And like we said, we've just spent the week together at church camp, Camp Expression. This is the second year that Pastor Sean has come in and been our speaker. And last year you brought your older three kids.
Yeah.
And this year we've had the whole family, which has just been an absolute pleasure. But we just were kind of chatting before about how special this camp and this group of students has been, where our theme was press from the word expression. We highlighted and kind of emphasized the word press in there and just kind of talked to them during the week about press in, the pressing, press on, and how to handle pressure. So, but the takeaway that we're really seeing from a lot of the teens, I would say, is that press on.
Yeah.
They're ready to take it to their schools. They really feel this evangelistic, if you will, call right now. So tell us a little bit about maybe what you saw even praying before you came, and then how that's all kind of transpired before our eyes.
It was really... Ronnie hit the hammer on the head. He said, man, these kids were just ready. You know, they were just ready. And even as I was praying, like last year I had such an eagerness to just really, really have everything prepared and ready to go. But this year it's almost like the Lord was just like, they're ready. Like, just come, feel out the nights, and just kind of flow with where these students were going. Because the first night we talked about the woman with the issue of blood and breaking through the crowd and cultural things and breaking through just to get a hold of God. And as soon as we opened the altar, they just flooded it.
Yeah.
It was like you didn't even have to say much. They were just ready to just go after it. And it was just so amazing to watch.
It's interesting because we were talking about, even as a church camp staff, what it felt like and what was happening. And we were going, like, some of these young people now are a few years into this. Mm-hmm. And that's like, they're going, like, we know what we do here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that is that we get all of God.
Yep.
We get a separation from some of the things that are distracting or that are challenging or whatever. And we kind of give all of ourselves to Him. And it's wild because we were like, you know, as a camp staff, same thing you're saying, like, we now get to guide more than we're trying to pull anything.
Right.
Yep.
It's pretty
powerful. My wife and I, we grew up in a youth camp that our pastor ran it just like you guys. Is there's no guardrails. Like, whatever God wants to do, take the guardrails off, let him do. We had a camp in 1999. It was called, the camp theme was, Our God is an All-Consuming Fire. And by golly, did the fire of God fall at that camp, to the point that we were smelling smoke on teenagers. And we didn't even have bonfires. No bonfires. And carrying kids back to their dormitories where God had gotten so hold
of them
that they just couldn't move. I mean, it was just unbelievable. Do you want to say anything about that band?
I'm good.
I'll say that on to that note, on the very last night, Friday night, it was a little after midnight, mm-hmm. and we were back in our room, and we were just kind of wondering, like, is everything really shut down? Do we? Roddy even said to me, he was like, we've got to make sure no couples are like behind the bar.
Turns out they were worshiping.
Who has the supervision? So anyway, I did a drive around and it was just so beautiful.
Yeah.
They were literally on their faces in worship. And many of them kind of coming to get the others because they had plans for to go back to their age specific dorms to dig in even deeper with one another.
That is so cool.
So I was like, that was the easiest security drive I've ever done, where it's just, you know, they're just glowy kind of as
that's so cool.
You know, just coming off of worship to go back to their dorms. But that was just kind of the tone of the whole week.
Yeah, really awesome. You know, when you put press over a group, you know, that's probably a pretty challenging thing to kids and teenagers to even hear. And it's, they're just going like, we'll take that mantle and raise you kind of thing is what.
And I have to shout out Michael and Bridget, our youth pastors, who are no stranger to Expression Radio either. But they, I just feel like, had them so ready.
Oh, yeah.
They were just so prepared. Mm-hmm. And I just think we all just kind of jumped into the fruits of it.
And I was just so proud of some of these. Like, they had a lot of high schoolers out, a lot of their main players with their worship team. And you just seen these younger kids just, like, kind of step up and step in and not miss a beat. Like, just pick up where the other team had left off. It was just so powerful.
To switch gears a little bit, I really want to talk a little bit about the projects that you guys have going on. And, you know, one thing that people maybe not realize about you, Sean, is your history in music.
Yeah.
He was in a group called Zayo.
Yeah.
You know, my generation, people around my age are going, really? Because Zayo was so amazing and so groundbreaking.
Yep, they're still together. Yep.
Yeah, it was such a groundbreaking movement at that time. I just remember people going, whoa, like you never heard a Christian group do what they do.
It was wild because in music in general, not just in the Christian industry, there was a new style of music that was coming up out of the 80s and 90s heavy metal scene. Uh-huh. And the 80s and 90s punk rock scene. And they merged together and it formed a style of music called hardcore. So hardcore music was still very, very infant in its kind of development. And we grabbed a hold of it. Eric Reeder was the lead vocalist. And then
friend of ours.
Yeah, good friend of ours. And then when he kind of stepped away to go to Bible college, the doorway opened wide open for me to step in. And I was only 6 months saved. And so I just grabbed the torch because I was so on fire for God. And we traveled the world. I mean, we traveled everywhere, up into Canada and all over the place. Those guys have now been officially around the world, world tour and everything. But everywhere we would go, because we were on fire in our youth ministry as teenagers, and we were carrying that fire from city to city and city because it was like ministry first, music second. And you just don't see that nowadays. Like you see a lot of people.
I think that people would be surprised that back in that day of going like a hardcore band is like ministry first.
Yeah.
Really powerful.
Groundbreaking.
Yeah. It really was. And I told a story at camp where we were in Sacramento, California. It was 1997. We had just arrived there and our drummer said we have to have a band meeting, and it was kind of like, oh no, like band meetings were normally not a good thing, you know.
It's like, but we're breaking up.
And so he was like, I think tonight we just need to let all the like things off and let's just go after Jesus. He said, I'm going to play the drums, you just follow. And we followed. Next thing you know, the Spirit of God just entered that room, and before you know it, everybody was laying face down, worshiping the Lord. Spirit of God was in there. It was the first time I ever experienced the fear of the Lord, like where I was just so overwhelmed by his presence that I was afraid to say the wrong thing because I did not want to stop what God was doing in the atmosphere.
Right.
And
wow.
And I left that feeling, this sense of like, God, I don't want that to just happen once. I want to carry that thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's what I think our ultimate goal should be, is like, let's carry that presence, the presence of the Lord.
Well, and you guys were carrying that kind of presence and that kind of reverence for the Lord into venues that weren't even necessarily Christian in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah,
right?
People were screaming, shut up and play, you know, beer bottles flying past our heads, you know.
Yeah.
Not Christian, not environments, even to the point where one in Southern California, we were at some University of California or something. We were playing a venue and it was packed out. This guy comes up to us and says, do not say anything about Jesus. You can't tell me that. Like, I was like, I don't care. But I was like 5'4", 110 pounds wet at that point. So these guys could have just broke me like a stick that were threatening us. But we had to pack up our stuff and leave the venue because we had threats. But we still preached the gospel. We were unashamed of the gospel. We had to let that message go forward.
And so that really kind of developed kind of a posture of heart for you.
Yeah.
And you were telling me, I'd love you to talk a little bit about an upcoming book that is coming out where you're seeing that posture work, not just in that realm, but in other areas of your life.
Yeah, and it was a real hard transition for me coming out of that environment, going from hero and then going into Bible college and going to zero. Like, nobody cared about, you know, what I did and the music and anything. And so that really kind of postured me to like really find like this place in God where I could just kind of be a carrier and learn how to humility and those things. And as I carried that into youth ministry, you know, I started seeing some really amazing things happen because it came out of this heart of like, I just want to serve you, Lord. I just want to, I don't have to be Mr. Special. I just want to serve you. I just want to love on you. And so out of that experience, and, you know, the book is really, it's called Hardcore. The term hardcore means to be solid in something and you're immovable. Like, you're hardcore, you're not going anywhere, nothing. And so my wife and I, through our marriage and through the ups and downs of ministry, I wanted to write a book that highlighted, you know, no matter what happened in my life, I remained hardcore. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the book is really about, no matter, you know, my wife and I lost a child, like before I was married to Joy, I was married before and I had divorced. And so the book is about, through every journey, I remained hardcore. I did not come off of my relationship with Christ. He was always the center of my life. And so I'm excited. I got 17 chapters written and I'm ready to, you know, kind of.
Is there a date of possible release on that?
I really wanted it this fall, but it's just too soon. So I'll probably the first of the year, next year. So
2024. Definitely put that out again when that is ready to be.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Released. We're excited.
Are
about
there ways
that.
For us to stay connected to you guys? Ways that people can connect in with you and what you're doing?
I don't have any websites or anything, but just mostly Instagram and Facebook. Sean Jonas is just
awesome.
Yep, on there. So
very cool.
Yep.
Well, you've got, I know you're serving as young adult ministers and middle school worship team ministers, among many, many, many hats that you are there in Revive Church. And so we just are thankful for our time together with you guys this week.
Yeah.
And just pray continued blessings on you guys. And we're so thankful personally for our connection.
Absolutely.
And so it's just awesome. But this has been Family Stories with Ronnie and Brian, and we've had Pastor Sean and Joy Jonas with us today. Hope you've enjoyed.
We hope you are enjoying today's show. We believe that God has given us a voice to impact communities and regions all over the world. If you would like to make sure that voice is heard, please partner with us today by visiting www.expressionradio.org and click donate.
You can also text give by texting the dollar amount followed by the word radio to the number 84321. First-time text givers, please choose Expression Church of Huntington when prompted. All gifts are tax-deductible. Join us as we change the world.